Jake Tenori Jr. is in the studio.
What happened? Why aren't you running for the legislator like you announced early that you were running for the ledge? What happened?
Well, I probably announced too early. I was excited to get back on the legislature, excited to get back on the campaign trail. I announced very early, relatively early for local candidates.
Yeah, it was pretty early, I thought. And you were a legislator at one point.
Right.
You ran for re-election, lost, right. And then kind of entered the private sector, and now you wanted to jump back in.
Right.
So
I was ready to go. I don't think some of my frustrations were the county organization, Democratic Party, right now. And other than a few very hardworking, and when I say a few, I mean literally a few, very hardworking Democratic legislators, there's no real push, and I don't think there's even a want to take over the majority on the legislature. The Democratic Party has never had a majority in the county legislature. We became, actually, when I got elected in 2007, we were at 15-14. That was the closest it's ever been. We tried to make a very hard push to take over the legislature in 2009. I think that kind of, made some mistakes there and learned them. I took my eye off the ball on my own race.
Right.
And unfortunately, we ended up losing my race by, 13 votes?
It was really close. It was really close, and what would change if the Democrats took over the county ledge? What would be the benchmark change that everybody would point to?
Well, depending on the leadership, I know if the leadership was as it was when I was on the board, we pushed a lot for fiscal responsibility. We did not agree with the economic development policies of the county, spending, you know, $100+ million up at Griffiths Air Force Base. Putting all of our eggs in one basket.
Yeah, and
A lot of money on Mohawk Valley Edge. They have they've shown me absolutely nothing in return.
And you've been very vocal about this. In your eyes, what has Edge done for the area?
Edge has done nothing but move around jobs.
Yeah.
And create more empty space. They have no real economic development plan or long-term plan. What they do is they suck money dry. If anyone Googles and watches a video on, hate to say it, he's one of my favorite presidents out there, but Bill Clinton.
He's your favorite president. He's my favorite president, too.
I love Bill
Clinton. I think guys our age, it's like, oh, Bill Clinton's the man.
But when he was governor out in Arkansas, they had a similar economic development agency out there that went through a lot of scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And we've asked many times, I know myself, Mike Hennessy, Frank Tellerino, we've asked for federal agents to come in and investigate what's going on up there. Where is this money going? There's a lot of administrative costs, a lot of pretty fancy PowerPoint presentations that they give to us. I mean, for example, we would go on almost a monthly basis up there, and they would give us this big, huge, fancy presentation about this Marcy Nano Center.
Yeah.
And they had a logo for it. Mm-hmm. They called it the Marcy Nano Center. And I would always be just scratching my head, and I'd ask at the end, where's this nano center you're talking about? You got a logo for it? You got this thing created, but I drove by there on the way here, and it's nothing but a field, guys. You don't even have proper permits.
It's not even their field, by the way. They're taking it from somebody.
Exactly.
The farmers up there.
Well,
and now they're can't build, they can't develop because they don't have the permits. And the engineering team has got to come back in and take a look at everything. And they want to build before they get a buyer, pretty much. They say, if we build it, we'll attract businesses.
That generally sounds like the theme of a lot of politicians around here.
Yeah.
Build it and they will come. Well, that's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, I just got back. I was down in Greenville, South Carolina for Easter visiting my brother. Beautiful, beautiful city.
Yeah, it is.
And
it is.
I did a lot of research on it. It's not big. So, you know, people that say, it's, you know, big city.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually got less of a population in the city limits than Utica. It's got 54,000+. Gorgeous downtown.
Yeah.
And then I talked with one of the stakeholders of my brother's company, a state senator down there, which, first of all, state senators in South Carolina make $14,000 a year.
Really?
Compared to ours who make $80,000 a year.
Yeah.
Plus their stipends and everything else, pushing they're up over $100,000 a year. So you can see why they work so hard and they'll do anything to keep their jobs. But he explained to me that downtown Greenville 10-12 years ago was a dump.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back, I researched online in the pictures, I looked at them, and it looked like Utica. You know, there was nothing there. They
right.
had a long-term plan. What they had was continuity. Everything here in Utica is hyper-political. Every job, from a janitor's job to the highest job in city or county government, has to always be a political appointment. And that has to change, because mm-hmm. every 4 years you get a new mayor, or at best you'll get every 8 years, a mayor serves 8 years, a whole new team comes in. Down there they have a city manager form of government, so you get a lot more continuity. Their economic development woman is unbelievable. She has had people come from literally around the world to use Greenville's revitalization as a model. And she's been there over 20 years, 22 years.
Wow.
So, you know, when you're not going to get an economic development director to come in and change the city of Utica around in 6 months. I hear people talk about Randy Soggs. I think Randy Soggs, I mean, if you look at his qualifications, the man is the most qualified economic development director that we have had.
Ever. And I think. I don't know about ever, but
you know, he's up there with them. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. On paper, probably. You know, I know we had Mike Hausnick back in, I think it was the 80s when I was a kid, or before I was born. We had Mike Hausnick was very good. I'd say he's the best since Mike Hausnick, for sure.
In recent memory, absolutely.
Is he going to have, coming from the private sector to the public sector, is he going to have a learning curve? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But with the credentials he has, with the contacts he has, you got to give him a chance. And what I get scared of right now in this current political atmosphere, current mayors and that, is you're going to have a mayor come in and just wipe them out, bring back in all the old political cronies, you know, from past administrations.
Yeah, so, well, you know, Robert Sullivan was on here the other day, last week, and you can find that interview on B95.5 FM. And he called him a suburban mall developer who doesn't have a stake in the city of Utica, he doesn't live in here. And he doesn't know why he got that job. So I think
with all due respect, first of all, Randy Soggs, I would probably say Mr. Soggs has a considerable amount of more assessed value property on his hands and his portfolio than does Mr. Sullivan.
In the city of Utica,
in Oneida County. But I mean, we are Oneida County, too.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, and I would say Randy Soggs pays his taxes, too. I mean, with all due respect to Mr. Sullivan, there's been many years that the city has had a black eye, and I think Mayor Raffaro showed quite a bit of restraint, and he should be thanking Mayor Raffaro for keeping him on as long as he did.
Yeah.
That's my humble opinion, and take it for what it is. But I think that was one of the best decisions the mayor made.
We're speaking with Larry Tenori Jr. He's running for the Utica Common Council. It's 8:45 Tuesday morning. What do you want to change in the city? How do you think the council is right now, and what direction do you want to? Let me start over again. The master plan.
Okay.
The mayor's master plan. Some candidates said that for mayor, that they said they wouldn't implement the master plan, and some said that it would be crazy not to. On the council, what would you like to see happen with that?
Absolutely have to implement the master plan. Matter of fact, it should be passed as soon as possible. And this goes back to what I was talking about with Greenville, South Carolina, how they revitalized their city, and now they're the home to the North American headquarters for BMW, the North American headquarters for Michelin Tire. You got Bosch and Lomb there. You got my brother's company, Synex, there. You got just so many jobs there that are, you know, people that are hiring 20,000 people. And their population base is not much different than ours. So we can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But what they had was a long-term plan. Like I said, this economic development director had 22 years. But with a master plan, and in a hyper-political city like we are in Utica, where you're constantly changing faces, no matter who comes in, should be bound by law to have, it's almost like our economic development constitution.
Right, yeah.
Where you have to follow that. Now, you may find provisions in there where you have to interpret it a little different to fit a different project.
Yeah.
That, you know, just doesn't fit perfectly as the master plan says. We see that that's what you have a Supreme Court for. Well, that's what you got the council for, to make these decisions. But they all should be based on that master plan, and it should be implemented no matter who comes into office.
Now, you're running for the 6th board.
Second ward,
I'm sorry. Sixth ward, what?
That's all right.
Jim Zecca, who would be running for council president, and looks like he's going to have some stiff competition on his hands coming up.
I believe people are going to be very surprised. I'm not at liberty to speak too much because my business is actually hired to work for.
Right, and you do political campaigns locally too.
Right, and I could tell you we've looked at the numbers, and I think people are going to be absolutely shocked at the popularity of Jim Zucca, and I've never seen people react to him. I'm not going to get into the poll numbers because they're just...
Sure.
I'll just say this. They're astounding. But the people, the general... My mother hates politicians. I don't think she likes me. And
I can say the same about my mother. But,
but you know, she turns the TV off no matter who it is when a politician's on show. I watch her. Mm-hmm. Not even just for me or for her show. I'll be watching her from another room and a politician will come on. She'll turn the channel. She absolutely loves Jim Zucca. She just... Something about him... You know, she always tells me he's so sincere. And I got to tell you, I've worked with him. I ran against him in 2003.
Right.
When I first moved home from Florida. I was 23 years old at the time. I ran, threw my hat in for a council race, knew nothing about politics, and knew nothing about who anyone was. And I met Jim one night at a Polish Community Club event. And I remember I turned around to my father, who was there at the time, and I said, I really like that guy. I think I'm going to jump out and endorse him. And he looked at me and goes, what? You just spent all this money. You're doing all... Just stand now. You know, he goes, what do you mean you're going to jump? I said, I really like the guy. I'm going to endorse him. That's the effect Jim had on me. He came up to me. I was his opponent. He didn't know me. And he came up and he welcomed me and said, thank you for running for office. You're young and we need more young people. I know you're running against me, but believe me. And the guy was just an amazing, honest, genuine guy.
He's we have a lot of young people running for the council in the city of Utica, at least. I know somebody, one young gentleman, Matthew Carvetta.
I think that's how you pronounce it. I haven't met him yet, but
he's 23.
He's a very bright kid, yeah.
23, Notre Dame graduate, and he's running for the Common Council. Samantha
Calissimo up in North Utica.
Yep, up in North Utica. She's running. And
Joe
Marino's a young gentleman.
Joe Marino's going to be a... I'll tell you, he's going to be a great councilman.
He's a very sharp guy. I've talked to him a bunch of times.
I grew up with him. We graduated high school together. And I can tell you, Joe's always been a class act, comes from a great family. He absolutely loves the city of Utica.
Yeah.
He could have gone anywhere. And
now, who's going to be your opponent? Who are you looking at?
So far, I don't see anyone that I have heard of. Yeah, there's been a few names popped around in the Democratic Party, and I think it's so far it looks like the process hasn't ended. So far I'm feeling pretty confident. However, I'll stay cautiously optimistic. On the Republican side, I haven't heard much, but I'd be not only shocked if I don't have opposition, but I'd be disappointed because I don't like no opposition for several reasons. Number one, I think everyone should have opposition.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Races around here, a lot of races end up unopposed. Mm-hmm. Some people are in office 30 years and they never get opposition. People think they're heavyweights. Well, they're not heavyweights. They've been there. Anyone could win an unopposed election.
Yeah, right.
And also with me, I don't want to hear anyone tell me that I won an election, even though I've already won an election and proven I can win an election. You're still going to get that, he got a free ride.
Yeah.
I don't want any excuses that I got a free ride. So if the Republicans are listening, please, I would like... I would
please
like to have
put somebody against him. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I would please like to have an opponent.
So what's Larry Tenori? What is your campaign platform going to be, and what is your message for the people?
I think the council... I've watched the council meetings since I've moved home back in 2002 from Florida, and that was my first experience with government. And then going on to the legislature, I learned there's a whole new world. That there's a world where even as much as I fought on the county legislature for reforms and against the leadership and so on based on policy decisions,
right.
The process was so much more professional. It was like going to a real state legislature or something. People knew the rules. They knew rules of order. They followed procedure. There was decorum. There was a committee process that worked. And that had authority to it. I go to these council meetings, and you hear the old saying going back long before me or you were born, they call it the common circus or whatever they call it down there, the circus. And it truly is.
It is.
It is a circus. And I don't know if it's any person's to blame, but
It's the
really
mentality.
They scream across tables.
Yeah, yeah.
They have no idea what it's like to have to be recognized to get the floor. You can't speak over people. When a point of order is called, you take the point of order. So what we really need is, first and foremost, to professionalize the city council, to show these people, if it takes me coming in, buying them all a book on the rules of order, showing them how to conduct a proper meeting, how to act like adults. Because when people from outside this area read the newspapers and go online,
it's astounding.
They're making us the embarrassment of this state.
Yeah, and there's a meeting tomorrow night if anybody wants to go down there,
and they could see for themselves.
They see firsthand. Trust me, it's
and
a good
especially
time.
Especially go early and go into the caucus.
Yeah, that's where the magic happens, the caucus room.
And that's not even that's another subject. That's not even a caucus. They call it a caucus. It's not a caucus. I don't know what it is. What happened is back in 1981. When the council was first elected in 81,
mm-hmm.
there was all Democrats and only one Republican. The one Republican was Howard Welch at the time.
Okay, yep.
So they just said at the time that, well, Howard's the only Republican. Let him caucus with us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They never went back. So here we are, how many years later? They're still caucusing together, and none of them there. I don't know if they know what a real caucus is, but if you go up to the county ledge, I mean, it's only across the street from City Hall. I'd like them to go over there and see how real meetings run. A caucus is party caucuses. You have the Democratic Party on one side, the Republican. And that's not to divide.
Right.
You know, they could say, well, we're bipartisan. No, it's nothing to do with that. It's because other business is discussed in caucus. Caucus is the one place where you can discuss political business, too. So and that is a big part of governing.
Right. Yeah.
You can discuss political business and strategy and things like that. Well, how do you do that when you got everybody in the room and you got your opposition sitting there with you?
Well, that's what leads to shouting matches down there.
That's right.
And it to be a reporter or a journalist to cover these common council meetings, you have to have like bionic ears that filter one conversation from the other, because they're always talking over each other, and you miss some things. And it's just like you're like, oh wait, what did he say? What did Frank say? And Jerry said what? And so it gets difficult. And you're right though, there does have to be some rules and set down on the council, because when people come in and they want to take part in the government, they see it and they're like, wow, I can't do this. And then I saw firsthand one day, it's a young man wanted to get down there and check out the meeting. And he just was like, well, I'm not getting anything out of this. I have to leave. So and he left. And
yeah, I got to tell you, there's days I've left, walked out of that council. You don't see me much at the council meetings. Well, number one, during a campaign season, I've always told everyone there's no reason. I see a lot of candidates that go to every council meeting when they're running.
Yep.
I try to tell them there's no votes in that room for you.
No.
If anything, if you're running against an incumbent, that's the one time you know your incumbent's not knocking on doors.
Right.
You got to get out there. Yeah. Get out there and knock on the doors. There's no votes at the council meeting for you. There's nothing but a possibility that you're going to get in an argument with somebody.
Right, yeah.
Because it's just a mess, and it might even discourage you. Get out and talk to the people. That's where the votes are. You know, these political power brokers and that, they may control 10% of the vote, and that's being generous. 90% of it's the people. Get out, knock on doors, pound the doors, talk to the people, and you know these blogs, and I read them. And trust me, I'm one of their favorite
Listen.
Targets. Someone could talk about Bin Laden getting caught yesterday, and they'll find a way to get my name in there. But
it's unbelievable these blogs, and one in particular, I'm not going to mention the name of it. And it's like, I've never seen this writer at a common council meeting or at any political event in the city of Utica.
No.
I've never.
Never
all met. It is slander and libel.
Slander, libel, gossip.
Gossip.
The biggest conspiracy theories. I mean, I almost feel bad because there's got to be something wrong. I mean,
but you never see that person. And everybody knows who it is because they announce who they are, and
right.
And they're a investigative journalist and a political investigator. But I have never, not once in my illustrious career of being in the media, seen this person down at City Hall for any reason at all. At no reason. They make the most. She makes the most malicious lies up. With no proof.
Well, they have Mark, you know they have very reliable sources.
Very reliable sources, Get your butt down to City Hall and ask the mayor yourself about whatever topic you want.
Reliable sources, by the way, confirmed this morning that it was all a hoax. Bin Laden is not dead.
Oh, I can only imagine. I can only imagine that's what is going on.
They got the first tip on that, so I'm sure it's going to be very soon before they go
national. And I was told not to mention the name or whatever on the air to give it credibility, but I was thinking about this, and it burns me up that you Google the city of Utica and names, and that comes up, and they present themselves as journalists and investigators. That is BS.
They're not journalists.
No, and they never...
Look, I've run blogs. I've had my own blogs going all the way back to college when they first... showed us how to start.
And you know,
I
give you credit,
like
Larry, because your name is on your what you write.
Absolutely.
And you have a news site, GothamCityNews.com.
I put the kibosh to that for a while because I don't think it's fair if I'm running for office to be writing anything.
Your name is on there. And you know, this person puts their name on there, but guess what? The reliable sources and secret information that they're getting from these credible people is all BS. I've never seen once this person down at City Hall. Not once. If you have a question for the mayor or a question for Randy Soggs, show up at the meetings and ask him. Don't call WKTV News Hour and ambush somebody. Get down there to City Hall and let's see if you have the guts. If you have the guts to say it to their face, and they don't, and it kills me. Larry, I'm sorry to go off like this, but it kills me because it reflects poorly on our whole industry.
Look, this person attacked me during my reelection in 2009, and I don't know where, why, or how, and it was absolute false. Matter of fact, I remember the claim. It was they blamed me for starting the recall referral thing.
Which was a debacle, and this person...
Not only a debacle, I've never met this person in my life.
I know.
It was all public news who these two people were that were doing, and I've never met them.
Well, the whole thing
is... It was just like, where did that come from? It's like, so that, at that time, I kind of confirmed, maybe earlier than some others, that there was something not right going on with this person, because I said, this is just... Where did that come? It was like, to this day, I don't know if that was just
They torpedoed that movement on purpose. And
I don't know what happened with
I'm telling you, they torpedoed it on purpose. I got it from one of them. They said it in passing to me like I was, you know, some guy on the street.
Really?
And then they figured out what they said and they walked away, but it was a whole snow job. They did it on purpose. But anyway, Larry, websites, anything you got up there?
Go to my campaign website. It's Tanoury, Tanoury, 2011.com. I just want to thank you for having me in.
My door's always open, Larry.
And great job. Keep up the good work.
Well, I'm trying.
Listen to you every day. Keep me laughing, too.
It's going to be an interesting political season.
It's going to be an amazing political season.
I can't wait.
And we still don't know what it's going to be, actually.
I know there's still candidates out there that are waiting for the flood story to get over with and now for the Osama bin Laden story to kind of die down so they don't get buried in the news. Three people I know are coming out within a week and a half for announcing for their candidacies for local positions.
I've heard some rumors myself of some
there's
going to
be some battles.
Be out there. I don't think... And the sad part is it looks like, at least to me, and I don't know who you're talking about, so that I could be wrong, but so far it's looking to me like really choices. You know, I'm holding off on that. I really like Mr. Palmieri.
So you would back Rob Palmieri for mayor?
Candidates? I'm not backing anyone right now. I mean, the candidate I'm most excited about is Jim Zucca. He should be running for mayor, if you ask me, but he's got a career, so I understand. But... That's why Democrats don't have a real choice right now.
Yeah.
You know, up here we are dominated by this Fox News garbage, I call it.
Well, they're they're fair and balanced.
They're fair and balanced. Sorry. The problem is, and I don't mind that, but the problem is our Democrats up here get scared of that.
Yeah.
So they think they have to cater to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it's a conservative versus liberal thing. It's not a conservative versus liberal thing. It's a crazy versus sane thing. They're crazy.
I like that crazy versus sane thing.
Yeah, you know, I was ranked the number one conservative on the county legislature as a Democrat. So it's not a conservative thing, especially when it comes to local politics. It's about spending issues. It's about, you know, we can't afford to simply keep doing things the same way we keep doing them. So, you know, in that sense, you call me a conservative Democrat. But the birther issues and all these things, like right now with this Obama thing, no one wants to – you read my Facebook thing. People don't want to – they're like scared to give credit to Obama for this.
Well, you know,
this is an amazing tactical move by President Obama, and nobody wants to give him credit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I bash Bush, but Bush brought us into Iraq, into a war that we should not have been in, wasted trillions of dollars on. Obama comes in, pulls the troops from Iraq, gives the order to Panetta that he wants to focus on about a year ago, wants to focus on capturing bin Laden. 6 months ago, figures out where he is, starts this thing, and today he's being praised by everybody. But, you know, God forbid I praise our president, Commander-in-Chief Barack Obama, for an amazing tactical move as our Commander-in-Chief, along with our wonderful troops. And I'm still a little mad at a president that brought us into an illegal war and killed thousands of kids. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to apologize for that.
Larry, thank you so much for coming in. Larry Tenorio Jr., it's 9 o'clock. We'll be back with...